We're doing the Rambam, the introduction to Mishnah. We're holding page Mem Gimel in the Rambam La'am edition. The Rambam just explained to us about why we have the minority opinion in the Mishnah and the conflicting opinions in the Mishnah. And now the Rambam is going to explain to us the breakdown of the mitzvot, of the breakdown of the sederim, the six components of the Mishnah. This is also page Mem Gimel in the Rav Shilad edition of the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah. And when the author, the compiler, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when he wanted to compose the work of the Mishnah in this way, with these attributes, I guess, he saw fit to divide the Mishnah into these six sections. The first section, the mitzvahs that apply to things that grow of the ground, like kilayim, the prohibitions of crossbreeding, shmita, orla, the 3 years we have to let the fruit tree, we don't touch the fruit, trumos, maishos, ushar chukeya, matanot, and other laws of the gifts that we have to give. Achelik Hashini, the second section of the Mishnah, Bifirkei Zmanei Hashana VeHamoadim, the different breakdowns of the times of the year and the holidays, Umash Nitchayev Behem, and our responsibilities in those times, Vishtanut Mishpatim, and the different laws of the holidays and the different times, Vasul Behem VeHamutal, what's prohibited, what's permissible, Umash Nachon Chaber Bechol Perek Mehem Min Adinim HaMitzvot, and what's really fitting to attach to those times, the laws and the mitzvot, because we know part of Moed is Chagigah, the laws of the Chagigah sacrifice, right? So it's not exactly only the laws of the Yom Tovim, it's the laws of the Yom Tovim and the laws that pertain to the Yom Tovim. Achelik HaShlishi, the third section of the Mishnah, is Babbeilot, things that have to do with copulation, things that have to do between a man and his wife, Ve'efresh Yesh Badinim Ben Anashim Anashim, and the different laws that have, in which there's a difference, halachically, between men and women. For example, Kigon Hayibum, taking on one's brother's wife who has... he left her without children, a chalitza, or doing chalitza for her, removal of the shoe, haktuba, the laws of the marriage contract, hagitin, the laws of divorce contracts, umash ruilu ma b'chol perek mehem, and what's fitting to say in each section of these things. Nachelika of the fourth section, bidinin uvimrivot shebin dam chavro, with regard to laws and arguments between man and his friend, uvischorot of masal matan, and with business and transactions of... the transactions that people do, ushutfut akalka vadumelo, and laws of partnerships and land and things that are similar to that. Chelek hachamishi, the fifth section, we're holding top of page Mem Dalit, minene korbanot, with the laws of the subject of korbanos, sacrifices, kefishtanut mishpatim v'rov inyanim. The different laws, different sacrifices have different laws. And all the topics that pertain to the korbanot. Chelek hashishi, in the sixth section, binyan torot v'efcham, with regard to laws of purity and the opposite of purity. Notice the Rambam is using taharat lashon. He's saying nicely. He's not saying tuma. He's saying tahara and the opposite of tahara. He tries to refrain from using even the word tame. Yeah.
Is it possible he's not using lashon, but he's defining the word tame? Because I read the Chabad Rabbi, and he translated tame as and its opposite. So is it possible that
I hear what you're saying. I personally have a problem with that. I'll tell you why. Because I thought that we could learn out from a Gemara in Brachos that Tahor means the removal of Tumah. The Gemara says that Taher Yoma, it says, Uva Hashemesh V'Taher, the sun will set and will be Tahor. So the Gemara understands that verse to mean the sun will set and will be completely removed. That's how the Gemara explains that word, the Vitaher over there. Not that Vitaher means the person will be pure, but rather it will be completely removed. What will be removed? Not his impurity, but rather the sun will be completely removed from the earth. The Gemara understands it to mean a complete sunset, a complete nightfall. So that from that Gemara I thought we could understand that Tor means the removal of Tumah. But that wouldn't make Tumah the opposite of Tahara, right? And I think that from the Mishnayot and the Gemara, the way it works is Tahor is the state of balance. Meaning the normal state is Tahor. There is no Tumah. Tuma is one step down, Kedusha is one step up. But what's the basic level? The basic level is Tahor. For example, a person has nothing wrong with him. We don't know of anything wrong with him. He wants to enter the temple. We say he has to wash his hands and feet. He has to immerse in the mikveh. That's called Kedusha. Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragnayim. That's not Tahara. Tahara is when he's touched a dead body, he's touched one of the shrotzim, he's touched a zavah. So now he wants to remove the tumah, so then he has to do tahara. I think the word tahor, throughout, we find it to mean the removal of something. So that's why I wouldn't say what you're saying, even though if I didn't know all these other things, I would say like you there. Maybe that's what the Rambam's saying.
But
Right. That's why I don't think the Rambam's. I don't think that's from the Rambam. Saying again, if all I had were the Rambam and not the other sources, then I would say like you. But given the other sources, I'd rather not say like you, because then the Rambam would be contradicting everything I just said. That doesn't mean I'm right. I mean, given what you said, which I didn't think of, but now that you mention it, we'll have to bear this Rambam in mind as we learn through the other things we learn and see. Maybe there's a basis for what you're saying, because there are two ways to learn, and usually the correct way to learn is the way you're working. The correct way is usually you take the words and you say, okay, what did he say? And then you say, how does that fit with what I know? And if you come in and say, well, this is what I know, so this must be what he's saying, so you're never open to hearing new things. So it's important to say what you're saying, and we'll have to bear in mind and see if it holds out in other places in the Rambam. Okay, so the sixth section of the Mishnah is with regard to Tarot and the opposite of Tarot. Bekara kol chelek mehem, and Rav Yehuda Anasi called each section of the Mishnah Seder, in order. Chelek HaRishon, the first section, is called Seder Zraim, the order of seeds. Hashini, the second section, is called Seder Moed, the order of, what is Moed?
Moed time.
Okay, so Moed could mean time, or Moed could mean gathering. Va'ad, itva'adut, right? Chassidim have a itva'adut, where everyone gathers by the Rebbe. Mo'ed could also mean a gathering. The Ramban holds that Mo'ed means a time of gathering. That's why the Ramban holds that one is biblically obligated to gather with a minion and down with a minion on the Yamim Tovim. According to the Ramban, you can't go to the Bahamas for Pesach or Sukkot. You have a biblical problem. Aside from the rabbinic issues of laning and everything else, you have to go where there's a minion. So we don't rule like that, Ramban. But it's interesting that when we say Moed, we have to know there's more than one understanding. Hashlishi, the third section of the Mishnah is Sedon Nashim, the order of women. Now the fourth section is Sedon Nezikin, the order of damages. Hachamishi, the fifth section is called Sedon Kodashim, the order of holiness. Vashishi, and the sixth is called Sedon Tarot, the order of purity. Siman, a way to remember it, is Zman Nakat. Zman, Zraim Moed Nashim, Nakat. Nezikim kochim tarot. Zman nakat. V'itchil v'seder zraim, and Rebbe began the Mishnah with the order of zraim. Notice, the Rambam seems to be attributing this order of the oral law to Rebbe. Meaning before Rebbe, it seems like everything was amorphous. There was no shape. You could begin shir here, you could begin there. The oral law was just passed down. Rebbe sets up the Mishnah, and he also sets up the order. So Rebbe begins with the order of zraim, the seeds, because that includes the mitzvos that are special to the seeds of the ground, and the seeds of the ground are life for all living organisms. And being that man cannot live without eating food, he can't serve Hashem without food. That's why he began with the mitzvos that have to do with the seeds. So the Rambam is telling us something very practical. You want to begin learning laws, you got to begin with life. And life begins with seeds. You got to have food. So the Mishnah begins with food. Now that's very interesting, because I just saw last week, I don't remember if it's the Kedusha Slevi, one of the Hasidish Rebbe's writes on the Mishnah. How does the Mishnah begin? Memas Lekor Nishma Barvin. When do you reach Mat night? So I saw Hasidish Rebbe said, you see, Rebbe began all of Shas with the concept of Shema. Shema is Kavol Zomachos Shemaim, that you accept the yoke of heaven. Without the yoke of heaven, you can't do anything. So I read that and I thought, wow, what a beautiful thought. You know, how many times do we read that Mishnah? I never noticed that. And now the Rambam's telling us a different angle. He's saying, well, that it doesn't contradict. But the Rambam is saying, Rebbe began with Sedos La'im because he began with life. Now you guys are all learning here in Machon Meir, so this is the place to quote Rav Kook. Rav Kook moves. Rav Kook has a concept which is very very prevalent in the thought of Merkaz Rav and Machon Meir, that you have to be mekadesh et hachomer. You have to take the physical and give it holiness, but you also have to recognize that you begin with the physical. An example of that is that when the Jews come into Eretz Yisrael, so the Jewish people come in, and the Aron is still outside, right? The Aron leads them into the Jordan, and then the Kohanim carrying the Aron stand still in the Jordan, and all the Jews enter the land of Israel, and only after all the Jews have entered does the Aron enter. So you have the physical entrance, and then you have the spiritual. So that's what Rav Kook hoped. Rav Kook wrote, we have to work that the state, or in his time wasn't yet the state, but the establishment of Israel, the people here, which right now is like a body without a soul, we have to put the soul into it. If we don't, Rav Kook writes, it will self-destruct. We're going to have a terrible thing here in Israel. But our job is to suffuse this body with holiness, to put in the neshama. So we begin with the physical, and then we have to add the spiritual. The Rambam's telling us, how does the Mishnah begin? The Mishnah begins, first of all, life. Life is what grows. So we begin with talking about the laws of what's growing. Yeah?
You commented about the human lady. He says, when we start with the thing that we started with also was the fact, smart night, was the fact that about, ultimately about the eating in our stomach. We know you can't, and there's a Gdera and Rabbanan, you can't eat at night.
Okay. So that's why the Rambam says we begin with the laws of the seeds. And then Rebbe went on to the order of the holidays, of the set time. He says, because the order in the Torah is such. First it says, plant 6 years, gather your food. The seventh year you rest. And then, right after the laws of planting, what does it say? 6 days you work, and the seventh day you rest. And after that, what does the Torah tells us? V'achakach, we're at the top page, Memhei, Shalosh Agrim Tehogli Bashana. The Torah tells us the laws of the festivals. V'achakach Alakdim. So the order, he says, is like the order of the Torah. That the Torah aligns the laws of planting and Shemitah with the laws of the festivals. Now, and we'll try to get to the end of the page, yeah? And he began with the laws of women before the laws of damages, to follow the verse, as Hashem did. What does Hashem begin with? If a person sells his daughter as a maid, and only then does the Torah tell us the laws of if men fight and they hit a pregnant woman, and only then does the Torah tell us when an ox gores a person. So we see that in the parasha of Mishpatim, of laws, so the Torah begins the laws with the laws of a person selling his daughter as a maid, and only then goes on to the laws of damages. So, therefore, Ikdim Sedlan Hashim Sedlan Nizikin, Rebbe had the order of women preceding the order of damages. The Sefer Eile Shmot, Kolei Lelu Arba'in Yanim, and the book of Shmos really covers these four topics. The topics of Sedlan Zayim, Sedlan Moed, Sedlan Hashim, Sedlan Nizikin. The order of seeds, the holidays, the women, and the damages. And being after he concluded the laws that are really in the book of Shmos, he went on to discuss the laws of the book of Vayikra, in their order. So therefore, the order is first laws of Kodshim, the laws of sacrifices, and after that, the laws of purity. That's the order in the verse. And he proceeded with the laws of sacrifices before the laws of purity and defilement. Because that's the order of the Chumash. The laws of purity only begin in the parasha of Shmini. So this is where we'll pick up Bezrat Hashem next week. It's worth mentioning that this, that the Rambam explained the order of the Sedarim. As far as I know, this is the Rambam's idea. I don't know of a source for this, what the Rambam wrote here. And when we read the words of other Rishonim, we find them giving other explanations. So it seems like there was no exact tradition, or you have to say there were a few traditions as to the orderings. But I don't know of a source for these explanations. The Rambam explains, Rav Sadigon explains, the Alichosom explains. There are different explanations, but it seems like this is what made sense to the Rambam. Unless we'll find a source and we'll say, okay, this is where the Rambam got it from.